And once again, this is The Blob, along with my co-host, King Cow. And you're here for another edition of Vinyl Rhetoric. His Eminence is in the house.
Welcome, Robert Q. Blob.
Thank you, King Cow. Really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you, Robert Q. Blob. How are you?
Right side's working well. Left side's still struggling with the malady. So
great.
Which I'm okay with.
Yeah. It's like not much you can do about it.
No, not really. But through the expertise of modern medicine, I'm still here.
I don't know if that's a... I guess that's a good thing. I almost said I don't know if that's a good thing.
Yeah. My wife thinks it's a good thing.
Well, that's all that matters. Yeah. Yeah, I wonder what my wife thinks. Deep down in that place that she doesn't want to admit exists.
Yeah.
What does she really think? Yeah, she probably likes me because I think she just... Otherwise, she'd accidentally say it, not know she was saying it.
Yeah.
It would just come out. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Although, you know, there's times where I swear she says something and I hear her.
Oh, yeah?
And she goes, I didn't say anything. And it turns out she may have been thinking what...
Oh, you think you telepathic?
Yes.
Wow.
It's happened. It's you know, I can see that. Just she was thinking what I was, and I said it, but it's happened multiple times.
Really?
Where I swear I hear her saying something, and then when I didn't say anything. No, I heard you say this, she'll eventually admit to saying she was thinking about it.
Gotcha.
Or she goes, I didn't, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But it's happened multiple times.
Really?
Yeah.
Recently or over the course of. Okay.
And I don't think it's just, I don't think it's happened. I think it's happened with other people where she knows. I mean,
she's caught herself saying stuff.
With my mom.
Oh, yeah.
Where my mom, I'll say what? I didn't say anything. I heard you say... I mean, I hear their voice saying it.
Right.
I don't know if they're thinking. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah, it's if, you know... Well, I'm at a point where I'm thinking I might go have my ears cleaned out.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get my rear cleaned out, too. What'd you say?
Are you going to have photos taken?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, did you not say you were going to get your ears cleaned out?
Ears.
Oh, maybe I should get my ears cleaned out, too. Oh, I was all excited. I thought we'd go to do rear cleaning.
You know, I don't know if you can do that or not.
Dual rear cleaning?
Yeah.
What, like we can have back-to-back appointments?
Yeah.
Or something like that?
I don't have to do a colonoscopy right now.
Well, have you ever had one?
Almost.
Yeah, I think I did too.
I know they...
How do you almost have one?
Well, you have an appointment and you go in and there's...
So like that only one finger, the tip?
No.
So like, almost, you almost went in.
We got the camera dirty, but not that dirty. We didn't go far enough for polyps.
So the reason I said almost is I felt something, but both hands were on my shoulders. So I'm like, I don't know. Hey, I'm not telling you it doesn't feel good, Doc, because it does. But I don't know if this is the proper technique. Oh, and he said, trust me. I said, okay.
And now I think I'm gay.
Or pregnant. One of the two.
Yeah, one of the two. No, mine had to do with a financial issue that the institution that I was going to utilize, and I chose to not commit to a $30,000 bill if they claimed I didn't have coverage. So, which was kind of funny because, and then they sent me another, you know, another notice that you need to do this test, and saw that I did that test, and they said, no, you're good. So the one time they were going to do it, I chose not to. And then when they came back, you know, like a year later and said, okay, you need to do this again, I was good. Hmm. I was clean. And then they did it about, I don't know, 6 or 8 months ago. They said, you need to get a colonoscopy because of your age. And I'm thinking to myself, really?
Because I guess, I don't know if you have the same insurance as I do, because the one I went to, he pretty much had a tongue depressor with a GoPro taped to it. And I'm like, I don't know if this is going to hurt or not. But go, I can't. So we got close. So we got like part, like you said, the camera got a little dirty.
A little dirty at the entrance to the cave.
And I said, that's when I was like, okay, do we go on from here? And he said, well, it's up to you. And really, I did not want splinters, because that's what I thought with the tongue depressor. I thought it was going to
I thought you'd get the sharp edge off her GoPro.
I don't know. It was angular, but you know, they've gotten better, so they're a little more smooth, a little more streamlined.
Okay.
Did you
see any Vaseline in the
there? There was a lot of slathering going on. Let's just say that. Yeah.
You're killing me.
So you're telling me that might not have been the best doctor if he was using a GoPro?
Well,
he didn't have it on his head. Is that a good thing? He didn't have it on another head either. Okay, hello? Okay. That's a plus to me.
I need to know how it was attached to the tongue depressor.
With tape. With athletic tape.
Oh, athletic tape.
Yeah, the white, you know, the white.
Then I wouldn't have trusted him if he didn't use duct tape.
What? Okay, I thought that the athletic tape was more sanitary than the duct tape. Duct tape might have been more smooth. Okay.
That athletic tape's kind of rough.
Yeah.
And I should know.
Yeah, it is. But I. I guess mine got canceled too.
Well, and it was funny. They called me back. You know, about probably 6-8 months ago, they said, hey, you need to come in for colonoscopy. I'm like, okay, all right. We'll call you back tomorrow to schedule a time. Sure.
Okay.
They called the next day. Well, considering your condition, I think it's kind of pointless. They said, so I'm like, yeah. I thought you might come to that conclusion.
Yeah, we're going to treat you, because you know what? You got a polyp. I'm going to bite one off.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
That's.
I mean, at least they...
Are they a good outfit because they figured it out after a day? Or should they have figured it out before they called?
You know,
because it's not like they called and did a questionnaire. Right. So, have you had any good bowel movements? Do you have brain cancer? It's not like they had a questionnaire and then they thought, okay, well, we'll look at the answers and then tally them up. And, oh, you know what? 97 out of 100. Yes, you need a colonoscopy. No, they will call you back and schedule it and then realized...
Yes.
They didn't ask you. Hey, do you have? Okay.
Somebody did look at the.
So am I going to get my? Hey, we're scheduling you for colonoscopy. Do you have brain cancer? No. Okay, we'll have it. We'll call you back tomorrow. It wasn't like that, right?
No.
Wow.
No, that's what I thought was so funny.
Wow.
There's your medical field in action. But you know,
Obamacare.
I will say that the care I've been given has been.
Top notch.
Yep, stellar. So
No GoPros. Yeah, on a tug depressor.
You know, but I've done. Yeah, but I've done the. You know, I've done the.
You're doing the work. You're doing the baby steps.
Yeah. Yeah. Skill.
You know what? The best part was when you were in there and they gave you a bath. Can I get one too, please?
Please scrub me.
You didn't see the look I got.
Scrub me, baby.
I'm going to kill you. I'm going to put this GoPro and tongue depressor where it doesn't deserve to go.
And you're going to gag. Oh. And trust me, it's not going down the front.
Yeah. Oh.
It's not going oral.
So what else is new?
I banged my knee again.
I banged my wife, so that's the same thing.
Sure it is.
Well, okay.
Was it as bloody?
No, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
I
just curious.
I closed my eyes.
You can't feel the warmth.
I thought that was something else. Okay.
Now, the tough part for me is because there's not a lot of sensation in the
knee.
In the knee area.
There's not a lot of sensation in the weenie area. So yeah, we're almost the same. I'm going through the same thing you're going through. It seems like.
Yeah.
I'm banging. And the part of the knee hurts. Some knee. I heard it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear what else.
Oh, my lower back.
Okay, I'll say mine hurts.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
Okay.
Yeah, it hurts a little bit right now.
Yeah.
What else hurts? What else is going on?
The way my foot sits on the rest for the wheelchair.
Huh.
It kind of, my foot rolls over like this a lot.
Okay, well, the way my cheeks sit on that round, that thing, that throne, on the king cow throne, sometimes I overlap. Oh, speaking of overlapping.
Oh.
This isn't a segue.
No,
but I read this a few years ago. There was some dude.
Did they lap dance?
No.
So there was no overlap.
For he might have got a lap dance, but for approximately a year, he sat on the toilet.
For a year.
So they'd bring him food, and he was a heavyset dude. His butt started growing around the toilet. Yeah.
Wow.
It was a disgusting story and fascinating.
Was it on a TV show?
I don't think so. I think I read it in an article, but it could have been on a TV show. Whatever. It was growing around the toilet seat.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I guess after a year and a half, maybe it was a year and a half. It was a long time. Just, hey, all you rhetoricians, Google, man's ass grows around toilet seat. I don't even know if that would come up, but me thinks it would. What, are you going to do it right now?
I'm going to do it right now.
Yeah, tell me what happens.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, I can't remember what, I mean, the dude was heavy set, yeah. So it wasn't like it was a...
Well, there's a TV show on...
My 600-pound life?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's stuff that goes on that I'm well aware. Tell me exactly what you're putting in. Is it going to...
Hold on a second.
Okay.
I'm going to say man's ass.
Does it give you suggestions?
Yeah.
Grows around... Man's ass is beautiful. Man's ass. I'm trying to think what grows
around
toilet. Is it?
No, it's not. Good.
Oh, I'm dying with anticipation to see what comes up.
Yeah,
and I'm not talking in a sexual way.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to know that.
Yes,
first one is, how the heck did a woman become fused to a toilet seat?
Okay, that's same thing. That's what it was. It's fused.
Woman sat on toilet for 2 years.
Thank you. So maybe it was a woman. I'm pretty sure it was a guy that I read about. It could be a woman. It could have been. All I know, it was fused. Fused. That's the greatest word for that description. Fused.
Flesh and porcelain.
Wow. It, you know what? That's my favorite website, Flesh and Porcelain. I look at that one all the time. Okay. Are you looking at pictures? Your face looks like you might be.
No.
No. Are you understanding now what I'm talking about? Fused. So that's when I said it grew around it. Fused, that's a better word.
Yeah.
And it's not like the plastic melted and then fused to her skin. No, the skin started coming around and like, hey, you know what? We're taking you in as part of our, like a child. We're taking you in. And then she couldn't get up because she was stuck to it. Oh, man. It's just the picture that I have going on in my head. Awful. Awful. Hey, you know what? And honestly, I think had I seen something like that, if I really saw it...
They pried the seat off of the pry bar.
They had to. On one of them, I know that they said they had to have the fire department come in. They had to take off the door and the seat.
Wow.
And so, yeah, could you imagine walking around with a toilet fused to your ass? Or wherever it was fused to, your legs. Well, I guess that would help you. You wouldn't have to put down ass gaskets. You could just have a built-in ass gasket. Sit down with your toilet seat already built in.
Yeah.
We're going to remove that. You know, could you imagine if you had...
Look, the human funnel.
Oh, man. Wow.
Oh, dude.
That's... You know, that's.
I think I'm glad there's no pictures.
Could you imagine sitting on someone's lap with that hard plastic? Like, oh.
Well, okay, I'll tell you. There was one time when I had gone in to use the commode. My legs were still a little weak, and my wife was going to be home in about an hour. And I'd sat down and did my business and cleaned
just
up and everything,
there.
And I couldn't get up, so I sat there for like an hour.
That's not 2 years.
No, but
in did it fuse? Did it start fusing?
No, but in an hour, I was in a bit of discomfort.
Yeah, so you figure another 3 days, you're probably numb.
Yeah.
Then you start growing around it. You start fusing.
Yeah.
Jazz fusion. So that's what Mahavishnu is. Jazz fusion. Now I understand. So it's the fusion of music and commode.
Music and porcelain.
Yeah.
And flesh.
Oh. Now you know, this is Vinyl Rhetoric, where you can hear all sorts of things that you never thought possible. Reaches... at @vinyl_rhetoric on Twitter, vinylrhetoric@gmail.com,
yeah.
Vinyl Rhetoric on Facebook, Vinyl Rhetoric on Podbean, Vinyl Rhetoric on whatever other pod collector you listen to.
iTunes and all kinds of stuff.
All sorts of them.
And you can find us just about anywhere.
Go back to previous episodes and listen to other disgusting talk,
yeah.
Ranging from cysts popping and shooting on walls to bowel movement. Oh, somebody said this to me. It's probably been about a month, maybe 2 months now. They were saying they listened to podcasts. And she said, yeah. And one podcast they were talking about, is diarrhea a lubricant? Hold on.
Wow.
It gets better. She looks at me and she goes, wait a minute. I think that was your podcast. And I said, that could have been.
I don't
go back and listen. I bet I then I said, you know, we might have said that. We might have said that.
Yeah, it could be.
So
I could see that being a question you would want to know the answer to.
I would ask that. I admit I would ask that.
I would attempt to answer it.
Yeah.
So,
my wife's listening to a show. What is biweekly? In this episode, I think Procol Harum is when we talked about biweekly.
Right.
And bimonthly.
Okay.
And she's all, no, biweekly is this. And I go, no, biweekly, I get paid biweekly. I get paid every other week. But biweekly could be twice a week. And then she said, hey, Siri, what's biweekly? And it said something about an ambiguous term that means twice a week or every other week.
Right.
And I said, fuck it! And, and then I proceeded to pull off my toilet seat and hit her over the head with it.
Okay. You have to take that off your ass.
Yes, it was stuck there. I mean, I've been walking around with it.
Yeah.
It's not so bad, but when I try to wear, I think our last episode, I told you, I go commando. Jeans, so yeah. Putting jeans and a toilet seat doesn't work that well.
Yeah, but at least you know when you're sitting flat.
Yeah. Yes, I do. You know, I go to San Francisco and I could just wear my toilet seat only.
Yeah.
And then I don't even think I have to put a towel down because I'd be, you know, at least an inch off
off the.
So the brown line would not be crossed.
Yeah. Good job.
So you ready to listen to some music?
Yeah, I am.
I'm gonna call this a palate cleanser.
A palate cleanser.
Yeah, because it's gonna cleanse the palate from talking about anal. Anus,
okay.
Toilet seats, and growing infusion.
Yeah.
So this is of course side two of Sheer Heart Attack, and this will be.
I'm going for infusion tomorrow.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
This will be two songs.
Dos Sangues.
Yeah, it's In the Lap of the Gods.
Okay.
And Stone Cold Crazy.
Gotcha.
So. Are you ready to hear it?
Are they together?
Yeah, they're together.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll hear how they, I mean, you'll hear them.
Am I doing that?
Yeah, you can do that. You can do that. You should, this one, you should figure it out pretty easily.
Should be no
problem. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. turning like a driving storm. Here come the law, gonna break down the door, gonna carry me away once more.
Would they play the first song followed by the second song?
Probably not.
Okay.
Yeah, probably they just play Stone Cold Crazy by itself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, I know I've heard that song. So.
Oh, if are you talking about like on the radio? Or
probably more live.
They pretty much would just play it by itself.
Okay.
They just play the song.
Gotcha.
So on... if I watch a movie and it has a Queen song, I'm always like, oh, cool. Encino Man.
Okay.
When Pauly Shore takes Brendan Fraser to whatever theme park they go to, and they're riding all the rides and they're doing all the stuff, that is the song that plays during that scene.
Got it.
And of course, the first time I watch Encino Man, I mean, it's Queen. I don't think a lot of people realize that's a Queen song. I know it's been covered a couple times where I'm like, I know this is Queen, but it's pretty rockin' song.
Yeah, I like it. I definitely liked it.
I think a lot. I mean, In the Lap of the Gods, I think is just, you know, for Freddie Mercury doing his.
Who wrote that?
Which one?
In the Lap of the Gods.
I believe. We'll find out.
Because I don't think it's Freddie Mercury.
We'll find out in 1 second.
Okay.
In the Lap of the Gods was written by Mercury.
Really?
And featured multiple vocal overdubs from himself and Roger Taylor.
Okay. Because that goes against what I was saying in the last...
No, I was thinking as it was going. But I think that the song... It wasn't exactly a song... I think it was just, yes, because they kept saying, leave it in the laptop.
Right.
They kept saying that over and over. And yes, it's a song, but I don't think it was, as you'll hear in other songs, it's a song, where I think that was just more like a piece to introduce
Stone Cold Crazy.
Because the last song on this album is... In the Laps of the God Revisited.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
So I just think it was more of an intro piece for the side two.
Right.
Because then they'll close out with the same song.
They probably had...
They probably had
several songs up, but they couldn't figure out what to do.
How to incorporate it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. That makes sense.
And he does... Because when you said that, I thought, oh, yeah, for the most part, his... Because all that said was that line over and over.
Right.
So yeah, it wasn't. That's why
they weren't repeating a verse.
I don't think it was a song
yeah,
per se.
Right.
I think a standalone piece. And for all I know, I haven't heard that on it says it is completely unrelated to In the Lap of the Gods Revisited.
Gotcha.
But I think they just, that's the name. We're going to open the album with this, and then they do the same song, but or the same title at the close, and then that is a song.
Gotcha. So
that's how I always interpreted it. Got it. You know, just okay. Listening to it, because I thought the same thing. I go, well, it's.
I don't want to record anymore. We're going to go get something to eat. You finish it off.
I think they wanted something to kind of operatic or with some vocalization. Gotcha. That they just wanted to...
A little variation.
Where Eddie Van Halen does Eruption. I think that they did Vocal Eruption.
Got it.
That's how I've always heard that song. Because I'm gonna, okay. if you listen to how it's singing, there's effects going, so it doesn't sound like them at all.
Yeah,
it sounds robotic or tinny.
Yeah,
because it's not sounding like any of their voices.
Right.
But even though, I mean, I know it's them singing, they just...
I was wondering how many guys were singing.
I think Roger Taylor and Freddie Mercury both sing on that. So, Stone Cold Crazy, they wrote it. They're not exactly sure how the song developed, and they didn't know who came up with what, so that's the first Queen song that is attributed to Queen.
Oh, really?
Not Brian May or not Freddie Mercury.
Got it.
So, anyway, yeah, I could definitely see you wondering how I like this and some other similar sounding song. Well, why don't you like that? I don't have
an answer.
I think part of it has to do with the way In the Lap of the Gods, that's kind of a weird piece. So I'm like, oh yeah, this is how you intros a song, and then it just goes tick 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 tick. It just.
I always figured that sometimes it's just, you know, we're just putting something together. I got this little riff. I want to do this. I want to sing this.
But I think some of the stuff that they did is, well. Someone had an idea, and then they went with it. Because I think that's, like, if you watch the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, the way they portray it is Freddie Mercury had the idea, you know, to do the opera. Well, what do we do now? Well, we sing. We do this operas. They're like, what? So, and then, you know, they...
And they made it happen.
Yeah. You ready to hear the next song?
I am.
This is Dear Friends.
This is actually song three.
This is technically song three.
Got it. Okay.
So dear friends, your love is gone, only tears to dwell upon. I dare not say as the wind must blow, so a love is lost, a love is won.
A fast one,
you know. It seems like he tended to write, and then didn't matter how long, you know, how much writing he did, mm-hmm. You know, if it was, you know, four stanzas, he'd make a song out of it.
and he did not write that one. Brian May wrote it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think they're all that way. They all write, and some of it they said, oh, hey, let's add this. And sometimes they were like, yeah, this is good. Because there's some songs that they have that are really short and sweet, just like that. And I like them.
It's like they wrote down every lyric that they ever came up with. And some of them became a more full-length version of a song. And others were just, nah, we couldn't make anything come of that. So, you know, somebody would sit down and, you know, play out some music to it and make it work.
So right now you get the kind of weirdness in the laps of the gods. Yeah. And you get the straight-ahead frenzied rock of Stone Cold Crazy. And then as soon as that, and it stops pretty, and then it just comes right into a slow little, and so it's a, I won't say a roller coaster, but it's
ebbing and flowing
of emotion. So you're like, yeah, you're kind of down and then up, and then you get brought back down, and I don't know if it's because I've listened to the albums so many times that I enjoy that up and down, because it's not linear by any means, but the way the progression is, I've always been intrigued on all their albums, where they, except for maybe the first one it seemed like they had only one style. They were all kind of rock songs, but they have the next album on Queen 2, they start having the thing like the whole side one, you could play the whole one and there's no break between it at all.
Right.
So they've started saying, hey, we can make this song and let's put it into this song. And so I think they start to incorporate that, and as they start to move on in their discography, you see where they'll come up with this really powerful song and then follow it up with a quiet,
very subdued,
subtle song.
Yeah.
And then come into it, jump right into a big hit, then come up with something, and you're like, And for me, just listening to a side, it's been a pleasure. And I mean, there's a song that's coming up. I think it's like the fourth song to come. One, two songs. So in two songs, that is completely different than anything you've heard from Queen.
Gotcha.
In my opinion, I mean, I'll see what you think. But the next song is Misfire, and I think this is the first John Deacon composition for the band. So, and I think Brian May was actually ill. He got sick on the tour before this album, and so he was in the hospital, so they recorded some stuff. And so I think John Deacon does all the guitars, or most of the guitars on this song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not Brian May. So
interesting. That should be cool.
Don't you miss fire, fill me up with take a shot. Fire me higher. Don't you miss this night. Please don't miss my.
That. What was he in the hospital for? Do you know?
Hepatitis.
Got it.
That they think he got getting a vaccination in Australia.
Gotcha.
So something's happening to the recording, which I don't understand because I think there's words that aren't not even I'm not even hearing them.
Oh, really?
I think unless I'm going deaf and I can't hear a certain sound.
There's So you think John Deacon was doing the guitar work and the bass work?
Yeah, I think
okay.
There might have been a little bit right in the middle that Brian May contributed.
Got it.
But I think everything else was all John Deacon.
Yeah, I mean, he was emulating it pretty well, but...
But it's a little bit different.
Yes. Yes, they were a bit more rudimentary.
So that song, it goes right into the next song. So they're actually, it's fades out, and then it just...
Picks up.
But it's still, you can still hear the song, but I cut them off, and they're two different. So
okay.
The next song.
Okay.
But it's still going, and then it goes... So it goes straight into the next song.
Got it.
Which I really like this. And if I played this, I don't think you would. Maybe you would say it's Freddie Mercury's voice, but I don't think you would think it's a Queen song because I think it sounds like nothing you've heard.
Really?
That's what I think. So, are you ready to hear it?
Yes.
I really like it, and it's Bring Back That Leroy Brown.
Okay.
Bring back that Leroy Brown. Bring back, gonna bring that Leroy Brown. Bet your bottom dollar bill you're a playboy. Daddy cool with a $90 smile. Took my money out of gratitude, had to get right out of town. Gotta getty up, steady up, shoot him down. Gotta hit that latitude. Bring back that Leroy Brown. Bring back,
gonna bring that Leroy Brown.
Big bad Leroy Brown, he got no common sense. He got no brains, but he sure got a lot of style. Can't stand no more in this here jail. I gotta rid myself of this sentence. Gotta get out the heat, step in the shade. Gotta get me that dead or alive.
Leroy,
the way you get him.
Incredibly Charming.
I love that song. Yeah, I don't know why. Banjo, ukulele.
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff going on in that song.
Yeah, the lyrics. I don't know, you probably couldn't. I mean, every once in a while you could hear something out, but hearing it multiple times.
Yeah, you know the.
You could read it on the lyric sheet.
Right.
I like the harmonies. I like the.
That's the part they gave it away.
The different beat. So when I heard it, I'm like, oh, this is a cool song.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
It is. It's a good little piece.
It's completely different than anything they've done up to that point, in my opinion.
I would agree with that, but their music has been so I'm thinking of some weird word. Dysphoric. But I'm not even sure that's a word.
Dysphoria?
Yeah. But I'm not even sure what that means in this context.
I you know what? My jaw is open. You can put a fly in there. Or a GoPro.
A GoPro, yeah.
You don't have to like it.
No, it's not a like or not like.
You don't know how to describe it.
It's like I would consider it from everything that I've heard of, you know, so far. It's an outlier in a bell curve, you know, in a bell curve statistical equation. You know, it's one of these things is not like the other.
I would consider it an outlier.
However, because of the way they've constructed their albums, and you know that it doesn't seem out of the ordinary to me at this moment. Although, from a sound perspective, definitely an outlier.
But when you listen to the whole album side,
yeah,
it doesn't. And again, I could be way off because I've heard it so many times and I know this is an song, but the fact that it's you when you're going in your wave and then all of a sudden this comes in and you're like, it's a beat, and it fits for me.
I can see that.
But it's because I've heard it, I think, a thousand times.
I mean, I like to hear like different sounds from bands.
Well, this is one of the songs that I will get my if I made a CD, I would just put this on it because I really like the song.
Gotcha.
It has nothing to do with I got to put these three songs on from the. No, I like that song, so it's. And I don't think it's on a greatest hits album. And I could be wrong about that, but it's. For me, it's like on my greatest hits of Queen album. And it's because it's. It's. I just. It's I dig outlier. The beat. I dig the. It's. I mean, I see him playing a banjo. I like the banjo sound. You know, I have an album by it's the Steve Martin Brothers. I think that's the name of it, or maybe the Martin Brothers. And it's Steve Martin. On one side, he does comedy. On the other side, all banjo songs. Because he can play banjo.
Yes.
So, and I dig that sound. And
that banjo's cool.
And then they also have the ukulele going on in there. And it's kind of campy, the lyrics, and... just the whole composition is something that I can't say how I felt when I first heard it, but I know it wasn't long before I'm like, I like this song. I like this song a lot.
I can see you liking it.
Honestly, there's so far, I don't think there's one Queen song that we've played that I could say, I don't like this.
Well, no, I wouldn't think so.
Well, I'm trying to think about maybe on the first album, The Seven Seas Arise, because it wasn't the real song. It was just a minute instrumental.
Like a filler.
Yeah, maybe that's the only one that I could say, eh. But I still liked it because it was The Seven Seas Arise. Just instrumental for a minute and a half.
It was Queen.
So that was the Bring Back Leroy Brown.
Okay.
And this is another thing that cracks me up. Because to me, that's a funny title. Because Leroy Brown is Jim Croce's song.
Yeah, Bad, Bad.
Leroy Brown.
Yeah.
And I guess he had died the year before.
Oh, really?
In the plane crash. So, I mean, they could be paying a little tribute, because I know they do that later. But the next song is She Makes Me, in parentheses, Stormtrooper in Stilettos.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm telling you, just they got titles that I'm like, oh, I like that.
Yeah, you could like the song just for the title.
Sheer Heart Attack is the name of the album. They have a song, Sheer Heart Attack. But it doesn't show up till the next album.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry. It's not even the next album. It doesn't show up for three albums.
Really?
Yeah. And again, I heard that song and... that's interesting. I mean, there's so many things they did that I thought were so pleasing to if you listen to it, to music aficionado. No. Anyway, so she makes me Stormtrooper in Stilettos.
Wow.
And I believe this is Roger Taylor singing, and Roger Taylor wrote this one.
Oh, yeah. All right. Thank you.
and just listening to it, I already know I'm wrong. It was Brian May singing.
Okay.
And actually, Brian May wrote it. So.
That was weird.
It's different. Okay, you say it's weird, and that's funny because if Led Zeppelin made this, I wouldn't like it. Is that what, do you think that?
No, I don't think that.
Okay.
I think it's
okay. What do you mean by weird?
It's kind of removed from the rest of the sound of this album.
I would agree with that.
Even the previous.
It's like a haunting melody, though. A haunting.
Yeah, I give you that. Yeah, I definitely give you that. I mean, I'm trying to figure out where it fits in. Although, I don't think I have to try to figure out where it fits in. I think it's just part of what they produced. It wasn't bad. Maybe that's where I found Queen to be the most elusive in this, you know, in the genre of music. Because, you know, like a lot of bands get pigeonholed, you know, that's their sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear that, you go, oh, that's Ted Nugent, or, you know, that's Van Halen, or that's...
If I played that, you wouldn't have known that was Queen.
If you played that, I wouldn't have known it was anybody from this century. So, you know, I mean, like I said, not bad, but so...
Okay, so...
So not...
Bring back that Leroy Brown was an outlier. Is that an outlier on the other side of that curve?
I could say yes or agree to that, because it wasn't. I mean, as I was saying, some bands get pigeonholed. This is their sound. This is what,
and Queen's not being pigeonholed.
Oh no, they.
Even though you had a preconception to what.
Yes.
And it's being shattered.
They've had some big, you know, ballady songs that have been really commercially successful.
We haven't even got to any of that yet.
No, I know. I mean, I realize that. And I've grown an appreciation for their sound. But this is like twice removed from yesterday. It's a standalone piece.
It's just I don't even know how to describe it. It's just part of the album.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting at. It's just part of their collection,
now,
their repertoire.
I will honestly say, not my favorite cut.
Okay.
But as a whole, when you play the whole side, it brings the mood up, brings the mood down, and so that's goes right along
like
with
a bad
that
drug trip.
Nah, whatever. I don't know what that is, but listening to a side, putting on the album, playing it from the
point A to point B,
from the start
to the end,
to right to the label. Just listening to it, it all fits together. Individually, the only song that I would say I know the only song I've heard played from that side is Stone Cold Crazy.
Yeah.
But the Bring Back Leroy Brown, I can listen to as a standalone song.
Yeah.
I could listen to
each song as a standalone, yes.
And
I could.
I could do that. And I have. I mean, if I put in this is Sheer Heart Attack. If I put this CD in and put it on shuffle, or if it's on my iPod and I hit shuffle and this song comes up, I'm like, oh, I know what this is. I may not know what album it is, because I'm pretty good at, oh, I know it's from this album. There's a couple that I don't know if it's this one or this one, because it's one of the two. And as I move along, I'm like, oh, I know this is this album, and I could tell you all, I may not know the songs, but when you start to hear a song and you hear like you hear a certain part, you expect what song comes first. You hear We Are the Champions, I mean, We Will Rock You, you expect to hear We Are the Champions.
Right.
Or just, you hear...
And if you played it on shuffle, you wouldn't get that effect.
No, you don't get that at all. So listening to the album side is a lot more, I won't say satisfying, but it's just a different experience, because you're getting what was released and you're hearing it from, you know, from the band's perspective of, hey, this is the first song, second song, third song.
Gotcha.
And it just, it's a different than just listening. I'm listening to one song. And
right.
So I think that as a whole, the album side or all the songs are enhanced from each other, rather than having you know, just hearing a song and say, well, what'd you think of that song? And I guess that's all the listening that I've done has been from that perspective of how everything comes together, as opposed to listening, oh, you know, I mean, sure, they have Another One Bites the Dust was released individually and you heard that, but hearing it by itself is one thing. Hearing it in the middle of side one of the game is completely different, because you get a crazy little thing called Love, a dragon attack, however it goes, Another One Bites the Dust,
right,
some other song, and then
gotcha,
and then some other song that was also a hit, but you get them all on one side, and it's a different
experience, sensation, listening.
Experience, yeah, than listening to each song individually.
Individually, yeah.
So,
right, gotcha.
All right, you wanted to hear the final song?
I am.
The final song is In the Lap of the Gods Revisited.
Got it, okay.
It's so easy, but I can't do it. So risky, but I got a chance. So funny, there's nothing to laugh about. My money, that's all you wanna talk about. I can't see what you in the lap of the gods. La la la. I can see what you want me to be. I'm no fool, no beginning. There's no ending. There's no
you can go and set it free.
I can see what you want.
I really see where you were getting at, that they were kind of switching from a more ancient kind of lyrical prose. And yet, the spaceship sounds and the as things are starting to get more cosmic, you might say. I found that it's like it came up, they from what I'm listening to over the last several albums of Queen, it's like they don't have a structure for pigeonholing themselves. They just write the stuff, perform it, and get it on tape and let it go. You know, just release it to the ether. And people either like it or they don't. I like the song.
Well, the thing that I read, that song was Freddie Mercury's first attempt at a song that the audience could sing along with them.
Really?
Yeah, so and I think it's a la 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 oh. So I think that part is where the audience would sing with them.
Right.
Because so the next album comes out, which is Night at the Opera, and on that song is Love of My Life.
Gotcha.
Which eventually, I don't know when, but eventually develops into a song where I think Brian May and him are the only two on stage, and he sings a song with the audience, and so the audience knows, and they start to sing it.
Right.
And when we saw the Queen tribute guy, whatever he is, the guy that sounds like Freddie Mercury.
Okay.
When we saw that he sang the first time we saw him, he sang that song sings, and my wife saw, "Why are you singing?" Because I'm supposed to be singing to this song.
Yeah.
This is like the one song where
this is audience
it's encouraged.
Engagement. It's audience yeah. engagement.
When we saw him, when we saw Brian May, when we saw Queen with Paul Rogers,
yeah.
Brian May came out. That's when he came out on that,
oh, when he
that
came
long
out,
runway.
Yeah, I just sat down.
And he had this stool, the blank stool, which was where Freddie Mercury would be and him, and then he sang the song. He Love of My Life, he sang it, and of course I was the only one that sang along with him in our group because I'm the only one that knows the song.
Right.
But that was that's expected, and
gotcha.
It's a great song. I loved it before I found out that they wanted the audience to sing along with them. And I think he even says in one of the live albums, this is where the audience sings with me or sings with us or something. But there, you know, there's other video or live stuff where he goes, or whatever, you know, whatever sounds he makes. And then the audience repeats it back. And so then he'll go, and they'll go back and forth.
Got it.
And it's cool because it's not like they're singing a song and the audience is, you know, how the audience sings a song, and you're like, I don't want to hear the audience sing the song. I want to hear you sing the song.
Right.
It's not a song they're singing. He's just making notes with his voice, and he wants the audience, you know, they're mimicking. Yeah.
Right.
And it sounds cool. It sounds really cool because it's... You know, he gets mock pissed off at him because they can go higher than him or whatever.
Right, right.
You buggers or whatever he says. And then, you know, they go on and then he goes, let's go lower. And so I think he likes that interaction with the crowd. And so when he write with this song, I could see, oh, you know, this is something where we can interact with the crowd.
Right. And I think that's a good strategy.
Oh, yeah. Because,
you know.
You know, once you have an album, what do? You tour to promote it.
Yeah.
So if you have something on there that
people can
engage your audience.
It makes for
a much more enjoyable experience during the show.
So,
where you could participate and maybe hear your voice on a recording.
Yeah, and it's not even, I think just the simple engagement with the audience is that's cool.
Is, yeah.
So it said that was his first attempt at something like that.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, because Nick's album's going to come up is Night at the Opera,
right,
which has Bohemian Rhapsody. I'll talk about it again later, but when they play it live, the operatic section, just they play it on a tape or whatever, and then they go backstage and maybe change costume, or Freddie probably changes into something else and then comes out. They go get water, do whatever they do.
Right.
And then they come out and they start playing that. When they don't make any bones about, hey, we're not doing, they, everybody knows they're recording it, it's recorded, and because they can't, it's probably really difficult to recreate with just the four of them on stage live.
Well, there's so many things that change in the instrumentation and the effects and everything. You have to find a way to make a break.
Well, we let him go, Bismillah. We will not let you go. Let him go, Bismillah. So they're singing that operatically and just coming. It would be, yes, they probably could do it, but I like the idea. Like screw it. We don't want to butcher it. We're just going to do it this way, and it gives them a chance to, you know, incorporate it into their whole show.
True, man.
So
plus, it's probably a good time to take a break.
Well, when we saw with Paul Rogers, when they sang Bohemian Rhapsody, it was Freddie Mercury singing on the screen. So it wasn't even, they played the instruments and Freddie Mercury sang. So and everyone loved it. And it's not like, oh, you know, we're getting ripped off.
Right.
It was more like a tribute, and everyone, I don't think there was one person that saw it that thought, oh, that's cool, that didn't think that was cool. Just, you know, much like when we saw Peter Gabriel, when he came out with that little camera on his head.
Yeah.
It did nothing for the song. It did nothing for anything, but it was cool, and it was like, hey, this is something different.
Yeah.
You're being creative.
Yep. So, I agree.
Anyway, that was Sheer Heart Attack.
That's a good album.
12 albums to go.
Only 12.
Yeah.
Okay.
12 studio albums.
Right.
That's not including, I got a couple live albums. So there's Live Killers, which I think that's how I learned of Bohemian Rhapsody. So I think I got Live Killers before I got Night at the Opera. But
got it.
I may intersperse that. There's Live at Wembley, which is a really good album, but it's live. There's some other stuff. We'll see.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm good.
Anyway, but do you have anything else?
I do not.
Say goodnight, Blop. Bye.